Hey, welcome to the Beat House. Jeff here.
Chris here.
We're back again.
Yeah, back again. Another week. Another, this is going to be unusual, but another mead, as it were.
As it were. You took the lead on this one, because I took the lead last week on the Gruitz thing, and I'm a little suspicious on your intonation there, buddy. What?
Good for you. That shows good survival instincts. Before we get into that, though.
As if friendship with you has ever been high on my has good survival instinct scale. Come now.
No, it has not been, but you've done well so far. I'm impressed.
I mean, other than the time your wife sent me to the ER on my birthday.
Yeah, and you and I broke something in a fight with you. I just had to catch you, is all I remember. We did stage combat, guys. We weren't actually in the fight, but also he fell into me, like hurt his foot or something.
No surprise. Jeff's ankle fucked up. I mean, he fell. At least you didn't stab me in the face like Jay did that one time.
Yeah, that's yeah.
So there's that.
There's that.
So there's that.
I mean, I want to be subtle with my what I do, and this will be show you.
Fair. Anyway, welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in, a number of you, more and more of you, actually, week after week, getting in on this, the Meat House, the fun, the growth, just the different angles that we take. Some of them are very, like, hey, we're gonna talk about doing a 16% mead, so we're going to talk about how we need to treat our yeast right, and we need to do this, this, and this.
Or like last year, we talked about a beer with no hops, but then how you make it into a mead.
Right, and not even necessarily just a mead. A mead
or a braggot.
Yeah, that same process. I think those same herbs. If you look at the end of the day, you know, the balance, I think, makes a lot of sense either way. So, but that's that. That was last week.
Yeah, and I was very happy because my first venture away from fruited meats, Nidermel's, was actually Earl Grey.
Yeah.
And once again, my first round proved, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
I can do this.
Well, and one of the first flavored meads I did, period, full stop, was just my, I want to say it was the hibiscus and chamomile. And the wife and I were at City Market and we passed by the Hibashi house and kind of were looking at stuff. And she's like, hey, Jeff, what would a hibiscus mead taste like? Well, it'd be good. Maybe I need something else to go with it. And chamomile was right there. Like, okay, that's a little earthy. That's a little light and fun. I think that could work. And, you know, that was the second time I did that. I added, the name of it always escapes me. It's an Arabic spice. It doesn't matter. But I added a third spice to it. And that took home like third in class at Mazer that year.
Nice.
So,
nice.
I have a soft spot in my heart for metheglins and the idea of like, hey, what kind of fun stuff can we do with either mead or braggot? And you know, different spices and fun stuff. Talk about language there, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all research that for a week.
Yeah, so here we go. Now, first of all, I'd like to thank our listeners. We appreciate each and every one of you coming in and spending time with us. We enjoy and we have never lacked for conversation or, you know, wanting to talk about more and more things. You'd be amazed how focused our conversation is on this show is because it's not usually this like this.
No, it's kind of a squirrel.
Yeah. We will change subjects 20 times an hour in our normal conversations with his wife and my wife and us.
It's come to the point where I'm like, okay, now we need to circle back to X or Y because you changed subjects, but I have more to say. So we're going to do that.
And then we'll move on.
Right.
But, you know, but the circle back, it was circle back. Oh, yeah, we were talking about that. But anyways, also, I want to thank Box and Barleycorn for being our sponsor and our stalwart friend and companion in this journey.
Absolutely.
They have done a fantastic job. They came to us, said we'd like to sponsor this because I think it'd be a good thing to see this back again. And here we are a year later about.
Nearly there.
We're like looking at a couple more months because we're in August or October now.
We're in October. You know what's coming up in November that I had thought about the other night when I was doing an edit and had forgotten?
What?
Do you know what episode this is?
No, I do not.
This is going to be episode number 295.
We started at 255 or was it
270 something, I think.
Okay.
There are 50 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
So we got a pretty good head start. And maybe it was in the 260s or the 250s. I'm not really sure.
No, I'd have to look back and look right. again.
But I went, huh. And yeah, next month, assuming we go a week, an episode a week, we're releasing episode 300.
Awesome. And I'm so glad to be here for it. Thanks for the invitation. But anyway, thanks to Box and Barleycorn for all, being our sponsor and providing for all of our needs for mead making and beer making.
Absolutely.
That's where Jeff and I get all our things. We don't really travel anywhere else to get our things unless it's a specialty item at a farmer's market, the city market, something like that.
Right. If I'm buying fruit in bulk.
Yeah. City market.
They don't carry fruit at Box and Barleycorn, just whole fruit. If I'm, getting a weird something or other, I might have to order weird ingredients right from the lab that makes it, for example.
But yeah.
Almost but everything.
It comes from Bacchus.
Right. And it has. Basically, I remember the first night that I decided, hey, I'm going to check out this Bacchus place Chris was telling me about. Because I was interested and you told me about this place before you were even interested.
Yeah, before I got I just happened to know it existed.
Right. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go in here and see about, making some meat or something.
Because you ended up working there for a while.
I did. That was a much longer period afterwards because I had a weird nurse's schedule where I was like, working 5 days, off 4 days, working 5 days, off 5 days, working 4 days kind of a thing. And so I had big chunks of time and could easily moonlight and make a little extra money and, learn some stuff in the process. And like that worked out fine for Jackie because it was just him and Chelsea at the time.
So. Yeah. But Bacchus has always been, they always have what we need to make a solid mead. I mean, many flavors. You can do hard ciders. You can do wine. You can beer. You can do cheese, kombucha, yogurt.
Right.
If it's fermentable, they probably got what you need there.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, the width and breadth distilling, if you want to get into that, they've got that.
Yeah.
For all those essential oils you need to make for your essential oil needs.
Yes.
I often like to find myself perfumed of an evening.
You know? Yeah. Being totally fragrant about it. Yes.
Yes.
But also, the fact that the knowledge they're willing to share and just how open and inviting they are. They have their periodic,
customer appreciations that are so much fun.
Still happens and it's such a great place and they have never failed to be kind, outreaching, and considerate and helpful.
Right.
Ever.
Exactly. I think I lucked out as having them as a first source of like anything I wanted homebrew wise.
Because
whether it's been Alberta or Jackie or now Jake, he's doing a great job running that ship.
He's really doing
the path steady and adding to it where, that as new stuff comes out, he's
on top of it.
He's great.
Yeah.
Fantastic working with them. And hey, I'm not going to let you get week 7 because
okay.
I'm going to do it this time.
Fine. Go for it. Let's see if you can get it this time.
Do you guys want a discount? A little 10% off bonus? MHP10.
You make that sound so easy.
I know, right? It just flows off the tongue.
Just for you.
It's just three letters and two numbers. MHP10, MHP10, MHP10. That's 10%
off. I liked you a lot more 5 seconds ago.
This is the antagonistic friendship we have.
Where, yes.
Turn your back and I'll stab you.
No, we wouldn't do that. It's too quick.
I wasn't going to stab you hard.
Just okay,
fair bleed enough. A little. As your wife is so fond of saying, the dead don't suffer.
Yes, and she is very fond of saying that. But get yourself 10% off on your online orders. Or if you have the opportunity, go in and share a little bit of what they have on tap for you. Great people. You'll love it there.
And realistically, I'm pretty sure if you said, hey, I was listening to the Meat House podcast and they said they had this code for online orders, I'm willing to bet Jake would give you 10% off in person, too.
Yep. He's that nice. He could do it. And what's the worst going to happen? He's not there and says, no, it's not going to happen. All right. So this is where, I also want to bring up that, because we are on more than just our website and Facebook now. I want to say this again. We're on Amazon, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Deezer, Podcast Addict, Player FM, Podchaser, CastBox, Good Pods, and Podcast Index. Still are doing the elusive dodge with Spotify, but...
Another week, another dodge.
Yeah, and we will get there. I'm eventually, sure. They will have nowhere to hide. Well, or they cannot ignore us any longer.
I'm in for you. 300 episodes in. List us.
But you can get us in all these locations, and if you're there, send us a note saying where you're listening to us from, so we know where, you know, to put our efforts in to, you know, make sure we're getting to the most people we can possibly help.
Heck yeah, and if that platform gives you the opportunity, you know, like us, review us, subscribe, whatever kind of engagement you can, because that just helps us get to more people that would probably benefit from this, you know, advice, conversation, entertainment, whatever, you know, the factor is that most, like, draws you to this. Maybe more than one, hopefully more than one.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And if you guys have questions, if you have stuff that comes up or that did we miss something when we were talking about, you know, one of these far-flung topics, hit us up. You can find us on Facebook at The Mead House or info@themeadhouse.com. I keep saying we should get an Instagram, but just to reach that younger generation and not us old-timers on Facebook.
Yeah, Sammy McCain.
Keep needing to find a cloud to yell at.
Yeah, well, okay, anyway, so here we go. But, so, today is my week, and we talked about this in the past.
Yes, we have.
Mead cocktails. And I've done some research, and I pulled up a few good-sounding cocktails.
Okay.
I thought we'd try it today and evaluate them.
All right.
And you can put your judge's hat on, and I'm going to put my version of a judge's hat on and see what we got here.
So what's our mead of the day?
The mead of the day is a variety. The mead we have is a traditional honey mead, unflavored.
Okay.
I got this from Bryant, the guy who makes the raisin mead that you say can't work, but somehow for him does, because he has that voodoo. So I'm using his mead for the base for the mead for all of these recipes.
Okay.
The first one I made was called a blackberry mead fashion.
Okay.
Now this, so, go ahead.
This is a take on an old fashioned, I'm assuming.
Just take on an old fashioned, absolutely. Now you're going to muddle 3 blackberries, an orange peel into a glass.
Okay.
And then you're going to add 2 tablespoons of honey syrup, which is you take a quarter cup of honey and quarter cup of water. 2 tablespoons of honey, warm it up, and mix it thoroughly.
Okay.
That's all it is. Then you're going to add 2 dashes of bitters. Arasoga is what I used here. It's what Jeff had at hand. Asura?
Angostura.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You have that bilingual thing going. You can do that kind of thing. And I've already made my first one. So I put the honey syrup in. The honey syrup we had to make beforehand because that's just that I didn't want to bring a stove downstairs.
Right. Well, and if you let honey syrup sit for too long, it becomes mead because it's just honey and water.
Yeah, it's just honey and water. So, you know, and we've already talked about mead is in the air. Or yeast is in the air.
Right. And yeast is everywhere.
But, and then we're going to do 1.5 ounces of the mead, of the traditional honey mead.
Okay.
And then
in addition to the syrup.
In addition to the syrup.
All right.
And then 1 ounce of bourbon. Now, the recipe I said Bell Mead bourbon. I couldn't find that in the 4 places I went. So I got bourbon.
Okay. Well, yeah, bourbon is bourbon. Hopefully.
And I used a bullet bourbon for this. So here we go. I've mixed it up and the lemon peel is still in there. I'll give Jeff the first try here. The blackberries are in there. I've muddled them down. You can see the crushed fruit in the bottom.
Yeah. The little seeds and bits and pieces are very present. It's not clear at all, but that's okay. This is a cocktail.
This is a cocktail.
And this is kind of a, I don't want to say it's a raw cocktail, but this is the kind of thing, there's bits and pieces in here.
If you want to filter it.
This is the kind of thing I would expect to see at like a high-end cocktail bar where the bartender like muddled the fruit right in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Not like, okay, I've got this blackberry mix, and then I've got, and I'm pouring an ounce here and an ounce
there. This is the classic way of making a cocktail with fruit. You actually put the mints or fruit or leaves or whatever and muddle them down to break it up, and then you add your alcohols and other liquids and go.
And on the nose, the bourbon is the dominant thing. It's that smoky, you know... almost leathery, kind of a note to it. I get a little bit of fruitiness from it, but the bourbon is star of the show, and it's a cocktail.
So. Yeah, but the bourbon is 2-3 against the mead. The mead has 3 parts to 2 parts bourbon, so it's going to be, and bourbon is a strong whiskey.
Yes, it is. Bourbon is not my favorite whiskey. Generally, it comes off as a little harsh to me, but that is real damn smooth, actually.
Impressed. I'm impressed. That's pretty good.
Yeah, no, that came out nice. It's you get that smokiness from the bourbon. You get the bourbon character. That blackberry is pronounced. There's a lot of blackberry in there. It's not a big dominant flavor, but it's enough to round it out and add a little sweetness on the sides.
Yeah,
I think I pick up a little orange from the peel.
I actually, you twist the peel into
Express some of
the,
those
get
oils.
some of the oils out, and then mash it with the blackberries to get as much of that you can out in your drink.
Nice. So yeah, no, it's and I've had old fashions, I think, for a while. Another one of my friends was really interested in just the old fashioned as a concept. And so, like, you know, we went over to his house for dinner or games or something like that. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna make an old fashioned. You want one, Jeff?" Sure, I'll take one. And it's not that it wasn't a good old fashioned, but it was, you know, he just made it bog standard old fashioned. And I feel like there are fun things you can do with that, like this,
Like this.
that are that make it a lot more interesting.
Now,
So
my question is, can you taste the mead? Can you taste the honey? We put both honey syrup and mead in the cup, and it's just traditional. Can you taste the mead?
I feel like I have to look for it. There is an undertone of sweetness to everything else going on. You know, if I've got like the bourbon that's front of the tongue and kind of like it wanes a little bit as it gets to the mid palate, the blackberry and the orange are kind of, they're not dominant, but as you get further into the glass, they are kind of off to the side and rounding things out, so to speak. There's almost like an undertone of the honey, the sweetness there that kind of brings those notes a little higher, and kind of softens the smoky, little harsher notes of the bourbon. But it's not a dominant flavor, no.
But it is there, and I did taste it, and I enjoyed it because of that, pardon me.
And we are sharing a glass, so pardon us as we pass back and forth, but I don't think this glass is going to drunk.
No,
This is a
I'm pretty
nice
sure
one.
we're going to finish this later. Well, now in the next one, now I made that just before we started recording, but now everything I make from this point on, I except for one, is going to be, I'm making it right now.
Sure.
Now, to my credit, I actually went through the Bartender Institute, Bartenders Association Institute of America, many, many years ago, like 35, 35 years ago or so.
Wow, you're old.
Yeah, well, not yet. I got two more weeks. But my wife is a she loves her whiskeys and ryes. Give her a solid rye, she's all over it. But so we're gonna see what I can do here. I introduced my wife to things she hadn't had before,
Interesting.
and I've enjoyed and she's enjoyed some of them and other ones. I was afraid I was gonna wear them, but you know, but she loves me, so I didn't. The next one I'm gonna do is called the Bee's Knees,
Okay.
which I thought was incredibly appropriate compared to what we're doing right now.
Well, then I am familiar with the basic cocktail of this, so I'm very curious to see how the mead cocktail version shapes up. Because you may be aware, you may not. My wife, huge gin fan,
She is.
and
And my wife is not, so it's amazing that they are as good of friends as they are.
now, just looking at the bottles you're using here, you're using a London Dry Gin, which is not really my wife's thing. But this, you know, I'm not as big of a gin snob as she is. I'm more open-minded. She likes her meads either citrusy or floral, and this is just a little more dry than she's used to, probably. But maybe with the honey addition, we're gonna see something different there. So
Now, although I forgot to write it down, I did look over these recipes 6, 7, 8 times, so I do remember this one has 2 ounces of gin and 2 ounces of mead, so it's equal there.
All right.
And then about 3/4 of an ounce, and I'm going to eyeball this, of the honey syrup. There we go. And then a little bit, a half ounce of lemon juice.
Pardon me.
Now we're going to take those four ingredients, the lemon juice I've added, the honey syrup, the gin, and mead, and put it in a cocktail shaker with ice. Now, ice, if you don't know about bartending, ice is an ingredient. You have to act like it is. When you see somebody putting a bunch of ice in a glass, it's necessary. It's part of the drink, and don't feel bad. Oh, I need that too.
If you just want to shake ice, that's fine, but
Yeah.
figured you'd like to shake the cocktail
Maybe
up.
the cocktail should be chilled a little bit. Okay, fine. It has been 35 years, man. I'm sorry.
But yeah, no, I've watched Top Gear videos on YouTube because I have a broad in the papers, right? There is a point that says as you're shaking this, cocktail's getting all in contact with the ice. The cocktail is not cold, the ice is. And so it's going to melt a little bit, it's going to dilute it a little bit, but it's also going to, get the temperature consistent as it's moving around and doing its thing. The ice is an ingredient.
So there we go. And now, straighten it out. Now, I have a cocktail shaker. It's a pretty cool cocktail shaker, and I really like it. But this is actually the first time I've had a chance to use it in this context. So I'm really happy here. And this is called the Bee's Knees. Jeff, give me a taste and tell me what you think.
So this is a very light, I mean, it looks like lemon juice, frankly. It's that
Or lemonade, yeah.
right, it's that same, it's a little cloudy, it's a very light yellow, pale color. I get a little honey and a little lime, or sorry, a little lemon on the nose. For as much gin as went into this, I don't get much alcohol on it, to be honest. So
Well, now mind you, there's 4 ounces of alcohol and 1.25 ounces of anything else. It's a 3/4 ounce of honey syrup and 1/2 ounce of lemon juice.
And this is a light cocktail. I'm not getting the alcohol burn from the gin, but I'm definitely tasting the gin. The
Yeah,
gin is there, and it,
it's not offensive.
no, it's, well, there's 2 ounces of gin here, and there's 2 ounces of mead. They're playing okay.
Yeah, they're playing together nicely.
That effectively, there's another what? Maybe an ounce of other stuff between the lemon juice and the honey, and then it got diluted a little bit when you shook it up. So let's say this is 40% gin.
40%
Yeah,
mead
it's
and the rest of it's other.
right. This is very light drinking for 40% alcohol,
Yeah.
even at a 40% hard liquor kind of
And
level.
if you actually put this, I think if you put this on ice, it'd just be very refreshing.
Yeah, I could see this a really hot summer evening just sitting out in the backyard and watching the chickens run around. I could handle that any day of the week.
Yeah, but I actually when I saw that one, I was skeptical. I'm not a huge gin person myself.
Right.
And the only gin I could get at the time was the dry gin. But I'm not mad.
I think the dry gin works here.
Yeah.
Realistically, would this be different with a more
A
like,
sweeter gin?
not necessarily sweeter, but like fruitier or more floral? Probably.
Maybe.
It might be different, but this is pretty agreeable just as with a dry gin.
Yeah, but
And
honestly, the recipe itself said nothing about a specific gin.
right.
So, pick your poison, man.
Well, and as far as gins go, there are a number of places doing a number of different interesting things with gins. Like a number of the like Scottish distilleries have now sidelined in gin because it doesn't need to age like a lot of their products do. So it's a
Yeah.
good, like they can keep the distiller running even while they've got their barrels full, so to speak. So yeah, no, there's interesting stuff going on with gin. There's varieties here, so this feels like a nice broad little palette to play on,
Yeah. And so what do you think of the second one compared to the first one? I'll be honest, I like the blackberry better. I'm a big blackberry fan.
I am also a blackberry fan. Anytime I see fresh blackberries getting muddled into a drink, I go, okay, I'll at least try that
Yeah.
back, right? The blackberry old fashioned has a lot more going for it. It is more complex. This is light. This is pleasant.
It's a simpler,
It is.
refreshing drink.
Here's the thing about cocktails for me. I'm lazy. I don't want to put a lot of effort in, so. This is the kind of level of commitment I could do for a cocktail for myself if I didn't have people over. If I'm hosting a dinner party and cocktails have been decided to be a thing, the blackberry old fashioned that requires like individual fruit pieces and slicing fruit and muddling and stuff like that, okay, yeah, I'll do that. If I'm just making a cocktail for myself because I'm tired and I want to sit down and have a little sip of something before I go to bed, this is about as far the effort as I could go, but I could still see myself putting in this much effort. And this is a
It's a pleasant
objectively,
drink. I like
yeah,
it.
this is a good result for that much effort,
Okay, so we're gonna keep going on this because I've got at least two more here to start with. And this is just the ones I liked that I filled out of the 30, 40 odd I went over the last few
I'm
days.
sure, I'm sure. So in the meantime, I'm sure we need some glasses for this.
We need a couple extra glasses here because, Lord knows I'm not quitting now.
Probably shooting myself in the foot taking that one out myself, but
But, hey, taking one for the team, man. Appreciate it. In case you guys don't know, we go through about a bottle a show recording for you guys here. So I don't go home quick.
No, it's generally after a recording session, we'll hang out for an hour or two and, maybe grab some snacks or something to eat or just try and chill the hell out. I mean, sometimes his wife will take him over here and take him home, but.
Most of the time, I drive here, and then I wait a few hours after I'm done and drive home. Because I'm sober. I promise you, I'm sober when I leave. But holy cow! So, next one. Now, because we are in October, and I love the spicy, autumny things.
Sure.
Next one's called the Autumn Breeze, and we're going to start with 2 ounces of mead.
Okay.
And this is the only one I have, I think, where my mead outweighs everything else in alcohol content.
Really?
Yeah, this is 2 ounces of mead and 1 ounce of apple brandy.
Hmm.
So here we go with that. The next part is lemon juice, and it says a cinnamon simple syrup in the recipe, but since we're a mead thing, we like the honey thing, I'm going to use the honey syrup
Okay.
with a bit of cinnamon.
That works for me.
Because in mixology, if you haven't got what you're looking for, you got what you're looking for.
Adapt and improvise, as our friends in the Marines would say.
Yes. And well, I only know one or two guys from the Marines, but yeah, they say
Same,
that a lot.
same, yes.
I mean, I'm a bit heavy on the cinnamon, but I'm not mad about that either. I like cinnamon. A couple dabs of Arisaka bigger, the bitters.
Angostura, yep.
Thank you, Angostura bitters. You're annoyingly good at that. And 1/2 ounce of lemon juice. Now, I'm hoping I can talk Jeff into putting these on the our online
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
so you can have these recipes yourself because I think they're good,
well, and
least so far.
let's address the fact that we're just using a traditional today, because we are just using a traditional mead for these recipes.
And actually, I grabbed the ones that were a traditional mead. There are ones for cherry meads. There's one for apple meads. There's one for almost every kind of meat you can go after.
Right.
But I just singled it out to the traditional, so I'd have to open 6 or 7 bottles.
Right, and exactly that's the point that I think I'm trying to make is that if you make a flavored mead, like a cherry mead or an orange mead or an apple mead, that's another flavor component you've got to contend with in this whole, making cocktails for yourself kind of a situation. So, is it going to work? Yes. You probably, like Chris has literally said, he can find recipes for all these different ingredients or different types of meat as an ingredient.
There was actually one for a cherry mead that looked outstanding. I didn't have a cherry mead at hand, or I would have brought it.
Or says, but
And
again, then we're opening 4 bottles of meat instead of one.
yeah, so I
In
didn't want.
addition to all the hard spirits going into these cocktails.
Yeah, because we are, you guys, if you watched our last week episode, that was a 15% a wild plum I put in us, and that bottle was gone. And that's a half a bottle between two grown men, but it's still a half a bottle of 15% alcohol. It's a lot. So, forgive me for not wanting to kill myself here. So here we go. We have the Autumn Breeze. It says, if you want to make your own cinnamon simple syrup, it's simple as this. You put 1 cup of sugar, 1 cup of water, and 3 cinnamon sticks in a pot. Boil it, bring it down to a simmer, let it sit there for 10 minutes, strain it off.
Sure.
But all I just cheated because I just used our honey syrup with a little bit of cinnamon powder, and off we and Bob's your uncle.
Sure.
So I'm gonna try this one first because this is one, you try the first two, I'm gonna try the second two.
Sure. We can mix things up and be fair about this, I suppose.
Now you can't see through it because it's got cinnamon swirling in there. It's got that cinnamon color, and there's cinnamon even coating the sides of the glass on the inside. So, because my aim is not as good as it probably would be if I did this on a regular basis. However, the taste is shockingly good. I mean, there's only enough lemon in there to brighten it. What does it smell like to you?
Yeah, it's honey and apples on the nose all the way down. Just potent as all get out. And it's a bright kind of apple too.
Yeah.
Like that, it's that apple, Applejack. The apple brandy smell is, it tastes brighter than anything, prepared that hot has any right to take to smell, right?
And my daughter, the chef, she says that she loves adding lemon to anything just to make it brighter in the palate.
Yes, absolutely.
And this one had a half ounce of lemon juice. So there you go. I
Yeah,
mean,
and I can taste it as I, taste it.
but it's a side note more than a dominant, in my opinion.
Yeah, it presents as more of a brightness, kind of a, it lifts the apple juice along with it. There is some lemon in there that you can actually taste, but the apple is there and it's the more dominant thing. Now, we've talked about balance I don't know how many times in the show. And one of the first things that I learned from Jackie, though, is that if a mead feels or tastes a little flabby or loose, like he literally had probably just a little 3 ounce screw top jar that he kept behind the counter in his back room. And people came in with like, hey, I got this, it doesn't taste right. So he'd pour out a glass, he'd kind of smell it, taste it. Yeah, it's a little weak and flabby. And then he'd literally grab a pinch, just a pinch of his little jar of acid blend, kind of sprinkle it into the glass, swirl it, taste it, offer it to the customer, like, it just needs a little acid. And they're like, oh, it's so much better.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of acid goes a long way. If you're lacking acid, if it feels kind of weak and flabby, it's such a simple remedy. And
And lemon juice is my daughter's acid of choice. And it, but I'll be honest with you, the autumn breeze I just made here, the mead, apple brandy, lemon juice, cinnamon, honey syrup, and bitters, bright, tasty. And these are cocktails of mead. Meads don't have to be just a wine that you sip from a wine glass and enjoy as, oh, look at this, I have wine. No, it's an alcohol. You can do all kinds of things with it.
Yeah. And this is, as cocktails go, just looking at the ingredients list, we're talking about Applejack, which is what, 40%? You got an ounce of that. You've got 2 ounces of a mead, probably at what, 12 to 14%?
It's probably 12 to 14. Yeah, he makes a pretty hearty mead.
And those are the alcoholic ingredients here. This is not a terribly alcoholic cocktail. So this is an easy kind of, I'm going to the pumpkin patch and watching the kids run around or whatever, and I'm gonna sit and enjoy, watching stupid fall shit.
I'm back on my lawn chair watching the kids pick a pumpkin, and I'm just sitting here. This is
Yeah,
nice.
this is easy going.
But there you go. Now, the last one I have, and this is probably one of our shorter episodes, to be honest, because I've been really excited about what we've been doing with the cocktail thing, was actually we have warmed up our hot mulled mead. Now, you've heard of mulled cider and you've heard of mulled wine.
Yes.
This is mead. Mead is a wine in almost every technical sense. There's no reason you cannot mull it. So my wife exuberantly and fanatically made me a mulling packet of allspice, clove, cardamom, ginger, cinnamon, nutmeg, and we added an orange to the mix. Now, if you want, you can add a little bit of honey to this. And the recipe said optional. Well, it is optional. But oh, the autumn breeze is so good, though.
It really is.
Sure. But I used cardamom seeds, not cardamom pods, as the recipe said. Now, it's four cardamom pods, if you want to use pods. I used about 3/4 teaspoon of seeds. I love the smell of cardamom. Cardamom is one of those things that I love. Just like I have a few very special fragrances I love. Bergamot is way high up there. So is cardamom.
Fair.
My wife
Totally fair.
loves aniseed, and if you want to add aniseed to this, do it because it completely will sell it.
Now, this one has been sitting around for a little while,
I had to warm it up.
Yes.
We had to
Well,
warm it up.
we got this started basically when you got here, and it probably sat for, I want to say, maybe an hour and a half in total, just from the, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, I need this and this and this and this. So we were getting stuff with cocktails. We were just chatting and catching up because it's been a week,
Yeah, it's been a week.
right?
I mean, yeah, damn
And
near forever, man.
you're like my best friend. So
Yeah.
we've got, I had to tell you about replacing my water heater and all the stupid stuff that happened in that week.
But yeah, but you did a great job with it, man. It's awesome to hear.
I mean, yeah, no, but this has been sitting around for a while, is the point. And you got first pour on this one because I got first on the
Ooh,
first week.
ha, ha,
It is a little hot because it's mulled. Yeah. But we just let this sit in basically a crock pot for about an hour and a half while we were getting all that other stuff going and then got, the half hour of the show going.
Oh. Oh, this is autumn, man. This is fall. This is the leaves crunching, the pumpkins growing, the pumpkin patch. The smell is so rich.
The smell is just all right, yeah. It's the damn if the apple and the spices aren't just like right even with each other and
Yeah.
everything, and it's
Yeah, we actually got ladled to ladle this out of the crock pot, so.
it is well, fall is one of my favorite seasons, even though fall is inevitably like the busiest season of the goddamn year because everybody wants to do something
Oh
really
my gosh,
fun
we're
because
always so freaking busy.
yeah. And we're recording on a Friday instead of a Saturday just
Yeah,
because
usually we're on a Saturday.
Saturdays just don't work this time, so
Yeah, because we got family, we got obligations, Things are just happening all over the place, and I mean, I'm just glad to spend time with my friend
Yes.
because this is actually kind of like my vacation time for an hour a day, a couple hours a day. I get to chill out for a
Yeah,
while.
hang out and just have some socializing and a little bit of, not that I don't love my wife and my kid, but I see them every day.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys understand, but I love my wife, love my kids, but sometimes give me a meet and give me some time. What do you think the taste?
There is something in that that's a little harsh right off the tip of the tongue.
Yeah.
I'm
After
not
that
sure.
moment, though.
After that, it's warm, it's pleasant, it's chill. I mean, this is, you're going to be a little surprised. I wish this was sweeter.
Dude.
Maybe it's just a little too cinnamony because I get that after the swallow, I get that cinnamon tingle on the tip of the tongue. Yeah, what's just we got a little extra of that honey syrup.
Cut. Give that a try. See if that helps out a bit.
Yeah, that's nice. The cinnamon is still prominent. If I were
Cinnamon?
doing this
Okay.
myself, I would probably cut back on the cinnamon. But
Okay.
the roundness of the spice, the heat, the warmth, the flavor of the honey, and we put in a little bit of, I think, brandy and some orange juice, and neither of those are very like strong flavors in this, but they're there. They're kind of just
Now,
rounding
orange is the
stuff
same
out.
thing as in the lemon for the brightness to kind of bring it, elbow it up so it's not heavy.
Exactly. Yeah. No, when I usually when I'm mulling, we only did like 2 cups of wine in this for the sake of try that with the honey syrup. We usually if I'm mulling
Oh,
like a
that's
wine,
better. That's better.
yeah, just a little sweetness did it for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I'm mulling a wine or something, usually what I'll do is I'll take a full orange and I'll cut it in half, and then I'll just stick cloves in both halves and let the float in there. So it's not like a big extraction, but it's enough to get the flavor out.
Yeah. And I frequently, I've without even cutting it in half, I've done that before just to get that the oils and everything out of the skin as best I can.
Yeah, exactly.
So
Because
let's not sit all the entire time we're drinking it.
right, you need that zest part and the juice part to really play nice.
But that was the hot mulled meat. And we're going to put these recipes online so you guys can pick them up if you want to.
Yeah, they will be in the doobly-doo for the show. Just take a look.
And I'll be honest with you, all things considered, I'm really a fan of the hot mulled meat. I just kind of increased the sweetness a little bit. And I like that the best so far. But it's also autumn. I like hotter drinks and hotter meals and things like that.
I mean, we haven't got to the really cold part of autumn. We're still in the early part of
Yeah,
October
we're
here.
in false autumn.
Right.
The
This
first
is
one.
at mid to late October. We're in that part of October where we could get an 80 to 90 degree day and be like, where the hell are my shorts, dude?
Yeah. And then the next day be 60,
Exactly.
455. And that's actually what's coming up the next few days. If, not to toot my horn here, but we're looking at 65 tomorrow and 85 for the weekend.
Not at all surprised.
Yeah. I mean, welcome to the Midwest. I mean, we have to suffer a little bit here,
Yep.
but we have all 16 seasons.
If you don't like the weather in Kansas City, wait an hour.
Yeah, it'll change. But anyway, but I love that hot mulled cider. My second place would be the blackberry.
The blackberry was really good. That autumn breeze, though, was really solid. That was a little bit more, again, the bee's knees. That's the level of cocktail that I will make for myself. Just a couple ingredients, maybe a little garnish or something, shake and pour. But all of these were stellar. I enjoyed the hell out of all of them. The roundness of the flavor, the complexity of that blackberry meat fashion. Yeah, that
Yeah.
was what we were looking for.
Yeah, but these are just four because I've actually went through the course of mixology for the National Bartending Institute. I can see the flavors profile by reading it. So I went through a good 30, 40 recipes to find these four. But because it's fall, I want to get the two autumn ones I found.
Sure, those and boy, did you find all the ones?
Yeah, and they have all the spices and flavors of autumn you expect. They're wonderful. But the bee's knees, very light. I knew it would be. These are all made with the same bottle of mead. Guys, do they taste these poor drinks taste the same? Not even close.
No, hell no.
Not even close. It's rather remarkable.
This is a when you're making a cocktail with mead, mead is just one ingredient, so the palate is wide and plentiful. It's really fantastic.
But that's why I said that, we have a meat of the day, but it's not going to be just the meat of the day to hear.
We had four meats
We
today,
had four
and
meats today.
well, we had four cocktails with meat in them, and
And we're looking at a mostly empty bottle of Vita.
not to mention, I don't know how many pony bottles and little pint bottles of different
I could tell you, do you
40%.
want
No,
to know? Okay.
no.
It was a lot. But yeah, we nothing I did other than in the little tiny bottles of alcohol, nothing was below 40%, man.
Going to try and take some solace from the fact that this mulled mead was sitting around for like an hour and a half, and maybe some of the alcohol got dissolved out of that.
Sure, it did. Yeah, it absolutely did. I can confirm that without a doubt. Definitely.
I don't like your tone, sir.
But it did. It's a lot less alcohol, almost none. Almost none.
Going to take this up with HR.
Yes,
Damn it, it's just you and me running this now.
I'm glad to portray HR for this one if you'd like.
No, I'm HR now.
Okay, fine. Now, I will tell you, the autumn breeze, they do say you can garnish it with a cinnamon stick and a slice of apple. With the mulled sunny, you can do exactly the same thing. And you can put a star aniseed spice wheel, the whole star aniseed in it for a garnish. We did it actually.
By accident, that just came up in the.
It came up in the scoop. But you can also put a apple piece in there. And it's just for pretty. I mean, garnish is literally for the pretty. But try this with your holiday fall events, see if you can get people to say, "Hey, what's that? What's your secret ingredient?" It's mead. It really is, guys. Your secret ingredient is the mead.
Shoot, this mulled meat is definitely going into some friendless kind of
Yeah,
Friendsgiving parties this
that
year.
yeah that I knew the mulled mead would come out really well because I love mulled cider in general. But we have a little bit of an announcement. Sometime in the near future, I talked to Lewisburg Cider Mill. I called them 2 days ago actually, and they said they would like. I asked, could we get a small tour and do a small podcast at their cider? And they said, we will contact you. We have no problems with that.
Nice. Nice,
That
nice,
was the
nice.
conversation I had, and I'm waiting for the email from the guy who does that. But hopefully, I'll get it in a day or two.
I mean, how many times have we said it? What's more fall than cider? Hard
Yeah.
cider. And you've said it, I've said it. So many people across this country use Lewisburg as their base for cider, sizer, what have you.
Yeah, and we're going to the place
Nice.
where this is the place you get it from. I mean, we are fortunate to live. I think Jeff lives almost a 40-minute drive away.
That's like 45 minutes to an hour. I'm not really paying much attention to it.
But I'm like 20, 25 minutes away
Yeah,
from where
it's
I'm at.
not far.
No,
It's
it's really
south of
close.
the city, but not that far south.
But right now they're doing their pumpkin events, so they can go out in the field and get your own pumpkin, and
Right.
you
Yeah,
got
it's the fall stuff. They've got
it's
their
the
corn
pumpkin.
maze. It's a really cool event.
Yeah, I
If you're
mean,
just, I think the wife and I are talking about dragging the kiddo out there for just,
just for the
doing
heck of
fall
it.
stuff,
Yeah, I
right?
mean, but no, we're going to go out there once to meet and then once to do our show.
Nice.
Right? So I think we're going to run it. But he
And
actually asked me to bring the apple cider mead made with his Lewisburg cider
nice.
for him to try.
I will bring my. I have that bourbon barrel cider that I made with Lewisburg too.
Let's do that then,
So I
because
will
let's.
bring him a bottle of that because I know where to find that, I believe.
Yeah, well, I know where to find mine because I have to keep it all in one spot, otherwise I'm going to lose bottle all over the place.
I've moved since I made that.
it's well
Yeah,
aged.
well, it's well aged, but it's in a beer bottle, so it's going to preserve very
Yeah,
nicely.
very nice.
But
But
yeah, no, well.
well, I'm looking forward to having that getting that show out so people can see what, they have alcohol there they make themselves now.
Which is a change, but it's a welcome change.
Yeah.
Because I'm
This
pretty.
is kind of new. Like last few, two, three, four, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
It's recent.
I didn't go last year, or I don't think I went the year before. Just.
I did go last year, and I
By the
did
way,
like
do
it.
you guys remember when we were talking about how busy fall is for us?
Yeah. Yeah, but because of this, all of this. Yeah, pour half that in here for me. I'm gonna drink with you, man. Thank you. But we're gonna take some time and we're gonna take our families out to the Lewisburg Cider and do a show. Fate's willing. He hasn't sent me the email back to make it official yet, but they did not seem resistant to the fact. We can do the mini tour anytime. They do that all the time.
Cool. Okay.
But I
Well,
would like to talk to someone who does the fermentation, what they do for their cider, their hard ciders, their wines, whatever they do there.
now here is the devil in the details question. If we're taking two trips out to Lewisburg Cider Mill, is there two opportunities to acquire cider
Oh my
for
God, goodness.
fermentation?
Oh my goodness, yes. I intend to come back with plethoras of cider to ferment with and just to drink in general, because the cider by itself is wonderful.
Yes. Now, again, the question, do they still do the bucket fill? Because the time that I went years and years ago when I was doing the stuff for the what became the barrel aged sizer, I'm pretty sure, I went into their pressing room and they took the big hose. I don't if any of you guys have been to a winery, you know this hose. It's about 3 inches wide. It's mostly clear and it has like metal prongs that they do a three what is it, the tri
Filtery? Is it a filter?
no it's not a filter, it's a clamp,
Okay.
and it has like little screws on three different sides to keep it sealed. But at the time they had a big diagonal conical press that they were just literally dumping trucks worth of apples into the press. It went through the little like grinder to make into pieces, and it went up this impressive looking like ramp,
Okay.
motorized ramp, into a huge conical press. And then at the base of the press they had this big 3-inch hose that was just full of cider, fresh cider.
That you could just pour into a bucket.
And one of the guys working there is like, "Oh, you want cider from the press? Yeah, bring that bucket over here." And I set the bucket next to the press where they were collecting all this cider from. He picks up the hose, leans it over the bucket, counts to like 5, and 6 gallons of cider were in my bucket, and then puts the hose back. And my God, was that good cider.
Oh my gosh.
I think I did two different buckets that year, and one of them became the cider that I barrel aged, and one was just a cider that I drank. And I did not put any effort into the cider. I put some yeast, like I think I put SO4 basic bitch British beer yeast into it. Not that SO4 is basic bitch, and like that,
This is
it's
what you had.
SO4 is a great British beer yeast. I didn't put any nutrient, I didn't put anything into it, and I just made a British cider with some yeast I had that I happen to like a lot, and it came out great. I drank that so fast.
Okay, well, now you've told me that I need to take buckets with me.
Yes. I don't know if they still do the bucket fill.
If they don't, I have buckets I can take home. But if I do, they do. I have buckets of cider to take home. Oh, I am so into that. I've got 7 gallon buckets. I've got 10 gallon buckets.
That 10-gallon bucket doesn't have a very secure lid, if I remember right,
It
though.
does not. But it's 10 gallons. Come on. I'll use seven. They're fine.
But yeah, no, if they still do the bucket fill, that's
I'm
worth
in.
knowing.
I'm in.
Even if they don't, I'm still taking home some
I'm still gathering 10, 12 gallons of
gallon jugs or gallon jugs.
gallon jug. I'm good with that, man. I mean, we get them in the stores up here, but Get them straight from the cider mill. Ooh,
get it off the press.
Oh my gosh. Now I'm excited. Now I'm excited. Jeff, I hope you liked my cocktails that came up with this for us.
You did a great job.
There's, like I said, there's 30, 40, right? You know, there's most of, you know, minus four of 30 or 40 I went through that you guys can look up online. Just look up traditional mead cocktails.
We've been talking about doing this for a very long time, so I'm glad we finally got to it.
Yeah.
You got some pretty stellar ones. I like the mix of, like, just, you know, that blackberry mead fashion. Yeah, I could see having that any day of the week.
Yeah.
But a couple fall flavors, too. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're fitting the season. I appreciate that. And again, this cider, the mead, this is not a cider.
This is a
mulled mead.
A mulled mead.
Yeah, this is...
This is...
I've brought mulled wine to gatherings.
Before, yeah, I remember.
Like parties and stuff like that, but yeah. No,
mulled wine. I'm liking the mead, though.
Yeah, that's the way to go. And
but guys, you know... Happy meeting. I hope you really enjoy the show. I would like you guys to listening, put in your ideas for a recipe for a cocktail.
Yeah.
We'll try it because, you know, we are teetotalers, as you can tell.
Even if not a recipe outright, give us some ingredients you want to see in a cocktail and we'll see what we can creatively come up with.
Yeah, because, you know, I didn't get that education for nothing. Actually, I did get that education for nothing, but I'd like to use it at some point. But hey, Jeff, thanks for having me over. We're going to do this again next week.
See you then.
See you then. Take care, all.